Well, again, good morning. I have the privilege of sharing a passage that I think is very, very applicable to today. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, if it's what I think it is, I better put on my earplugs because this is a doozy. This is something that requires a response. Just like 2 weeks ago when I got the privilege of sharing the role of a husband and a wife, right? Me, Mr. Expert in marriage life, told or encouraged from the biblical point of view how wives should submit to husbands and husbands should love their wives as Christ loves the church. So today, I have the privilege of sharing to you the roles and the relationship between children and their parents. Now, you might be looking for a PowerPoint presentation. Well, it got pretty late last night, and I got too tired. So instead, I'm just going to preach from my notes on my computer. So you can thank God for that. Anyways, if you have your Bibles, please turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. And we'll begin with verse 1 of chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now I want to teach you guys something. Now, I've always been a big supporter of studying the Bible. And time and time, I'll give you guys little tips, like how to study the Bible. Well, one of my advice I can give you for studying the Bible is always, always, always ask questions. So if you see something in the Bible, you're like, well, what do you mean by that? Or what do you mean by this? Always ask questions, because by asking questions, you then kind of have to force yourself to find the answer. And you'll learn more about the Bible through that. So the first question I asked when I was looking at this is, what does Paul mean by children? Is he talking about little kids? Is he talking about toddlers, infants, that are always clinging on to their parents? Mommy, mommy, mommy! You know? Or is he talking about teenagers? Or is he talking about college students? Well, you know. Or is he talking about adults that are not married? Or is he talking about the 40-year-old still living with his parents? Or her parents, either one. You know, who is Paul talking about when he says children? It's so vague. Well, I want to present to you that children is not necessarily just little kids, but it actually refers to everybody who can understand, meaning teenagers, young kids, college students, adults, even people who are married. This applies to you. Children, obey your parents. Well, what does it mean to obey? It's such a strong word. Well, it is a strong word. It's in the present active imperative. The verb that Paul uses is an imperative that forces, that it shows that this is a strong command. And it reinforces the idea that children are to obey and honor their parents continually. Because it's in the present tense, it means that you don't just obey your parents one day a week, or you don't just obey your parents when you need money to go to the mall and hit up the arcades, or you don't just obey your parents when you need the car to go take your girlfriend out on a date. Obeying your parents is a continuous, ongoing command to not just obey, but to also honor your parents. So it's a continuous, ongoing thing. And just so you know, in the Roman context, now Paul wrote this during the Roman period. In the Roman context, parents have authority over their children as long as they live. So you can be a parent, you can be 80 years old, all your kids could be married, and you can have grandkids, and you as the parent, the father, can have authority over your kids, your wives, and your grandkids. That's how much power That's how much emphasis is put on the role of parents or the father in the Roman context. In the same way, it's not foreign to also Hellenistic Jews at the same time. They put a high value on the role of a father or parents to their children, to their family. Now, just so you know, when Paul says, children, obey your parents in the command, in the imperative, it is, think of obedience like our Christian duty. You know, like I talked about 2 weeks ago, you know, Christ submitted himself to the will of the Father. Does it mean that Christ was less than the Father? Of course not. But it was his Christian duty. It was his calling. It was his duty as a son to obey the will of the Father. In the same way, think of obedience to your parents as your Christian duty. Now, just to contrast that, you know, we in a society, like, one of the signs of a society where child disobedience is a judgment on a sinful world, it's when you see rebellious children, it is a sign of judgment. It is a sign of judgment because of sin. Romans chapter 1, verses 28 to 30. If you have your Bible, please turn there. Romans chapter 1, verses 28 to 30. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God. Now listen to this. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, and catch this, disobedient to parents. See, one of, you know, a sign that we can assess whether a society has is under divine judgment of God is this. One of the signs is when you have rebellious children, when you have children that are disobedient to their parents, it is a sign, now not the sign, it is a sign of divine judgment that has already been in place. Now be careful when I listen when I say this. I'm not saying that they are deserving a judgment, but rather, judgment is already upon them. Divine judgment is already upon them. Because the very fact that God gives them over to these things. See, we never think of judgment like this. We always think, oh, judgment is God coming down with a lightning bolt and he's going to attack me, he's going to hurt me. We think of judgment like that. Paul understands judgment, divine judgment, also as something that God is not doing. When God gives you over to your sins, and God doesn't do anything to prevent you from sinning, then that's judgment upon a society or upon people, sinful people, people who do not acknowledge God in their life. You know, Harold Horner, he says this really brilliantly, and I'll quote him. He says, if a child dishonors and disobeys God, he or she will most likely have the same attitude to their parents. And I think that's very true. Likewise, you know, husbands, how do you expect to love your wife if you first don't know how to love God? In the same way, wives, how do you expect to submit to your husbands if you first don't love God? In the same way, children, not just kids, but everybody who has parents, how do you expect to obey your parents if you first don't obey God? See, there's a prerequisite to it for obedience, and that's first loving and obeying God. Our motivation, now let's you know, when we hear this, we're like, parents are probably thinking, all right, you know, I have full power now. I can tell my kids to do whatever and they have no choice but to listen to me, because it says right here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents. No, if you look at it, it actually says, obey, children, obey your parents in the Lord. In the Lord. Just like wives submitting to your husbands is conditioned on the husband leading the family in according to the Bible, same way. Children, you obey your parents conditioned on the fact that the expectations are within line, within the rules and guidelines of Scripture. Now, I have a couple of illustrations or examples so that we can really draw this out. Now, when I was doing youth ministry in Los Angeles, we ministered predominantly to Filipinos. And if you know Filipinos, the culture, it's a huge population is Roman Catholic. Now, you know, these kids, they want to come to church, but then they tell their parents, Mom, can I go to church? And then their parents are like, no, you can't go to church. You're Roman Catholic. And then the kids are like, oh man, but I want to go to church. You know, and then I want to go to church, but they're like, no, you're Catholic. You're born Catholic. You're going to die Catholic. And the kids are like, and then the kids come up to me, oh, I can't go to youth service, or I can't go to church or Bible study because my parents won't let me. I'm like, oh man. And I'm like, so what do I tell these kids to obey their parents and not go to Bible study or not follow after Jesus Christ? Of course not. We snuck them out. We brought them to church. We snuck them out. So technically, these kids disobeyed their parents. Technically. But who is the real master here? Is it the parents or is it Christ? Who is the master of our life? Ultimately, it is Christ. See, obedience is contingent on doing the things that are honoring and obedience to Christ first. I'll give another example. Baptism is a big deal. Now, some of you guys might think, well, whatever. But in most parts of the world, baptism is life and death, believe it or not. My professor, he loves India. He has spent years of his life ministering in India. And he shared a story with us. And he said, in northern India, where the Hinduism is really strong, if a Hindu decides to convert to Christianity, and he decides to get baptized in water, two things happen. One, that person will be, will be an outcast. The parents, the family will disown that person immediately because he has turned his back against his family. And not only that, but sometimes it is punishable by death. They will kill you if you get baptized. See, conversion, following after Jesus Christ, is not easy. So the question is, should these Hindus obey their parents and not get baptized and not follow Jesus Christ? Or should these Hindus be obedient to God and get baptized and get disowned? See, obedience to your parents is contingent on the things that are according to Scripture. If your parents tell you to not get baptized, you know what? Your allegiance is to Christ, to God. And if you want to get baptized, you should get baptized. If you want to go, I remember for myself, I wanted to go to Bible college, and my mom was like, what are you doing? Don't go to Bible college. You know, do something else. Be a doctor. I'm like, Mom, you know my high school GPA. There's no way I'll be a doctor. You know, like 2.1 something. Anyways, so impossible. But my mom was like, don't go to Bible college. But who am I going to be obedient to? Christ? Or am I going to be obedient to my mom? So I was obedient to Christ. I told my mom, I'm going to start going to church. She goes, don't go to church. All they want is your money. I was like, really? I don't have any money. And my mom's like, yeah, all they want is your money. Don't go to church. So for me, it was like, do I obey my parents and not go to church? Or do I go to church? Of course I went to church. My obedience, first and foremost, is to God. And of course, that also carries over to obedience to your parents. Does that make sense? I hope you guys get that. Okay. Now, let's move on to verse 2, where Paul says, now, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. Now, again, the word honor, the verb, is also used in the imperative. Again, it's emphasizing this continuous, ongoing command of being obedient and honoring your parents. Now, immediately, you guys are smart, and I know you guys are asking this question. What does it mean this is your relationship with God, and then the fifth commandment all the way to the tenth commandment deals with relationship with individuals? So technically, the fifth commandment is the first commandment that deals with people, like human beings to human beings. So both of them, very good explanation. There's actually like seven other explanations, but we're not going to get into it. I honestly don't know which one's right, but I just wanted to throw that out there for you guys. Now, the more important thing is this command of honoring your father and mother. What does it mean to honor your parents? I was looking at this last night, and I came across John chapter 19, verses 25 to 27. Now, if you guys are falling asleep, I know it's a little warm. Please catch this. Jesus Christ gave us the perfect model of what it means to honor your parents. John chapter 19, verses 25 to 27. This is when Jesus was going through the process of being crucified, bearing the pain of being whipped, having to carry the cross, being humiliated, and all these things. And this is what Jesus says. And it's really, touchy. Anyways, verse 25. Therefore, the soldiers did these things, but there were standing by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Verse 26. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. You know, that is so beautiful, because if you don't understand ancient Near East culture, when a woman is alone, she is the most ignored, most neglected person. When a woman becomes widowed, or when a woman don't have any children, they are looked down upon in society. People look at them as though they're less than slaves. And Jesus, while he was bearing on the pain of the sins of the world, he looks at his mother and he cares for her. And he honors her. You know how he honors her? By telling his most beloved disciple, "This is your mother. Take care of her. Take her into your home and watch over her." You know, how often do we think about that in our own life? Where we're so busy with our life, do we ever really think about and care for our parents? Care for their well-being, care for their health, and to make sure that they're okay. You know, I might get in trouble for saying this, but I'll say it. You know, I understand why people put their parents in retirement homes. I understand why people put their parents in homes, because they're so busy. They can't take care of their parents, and this is the best thing they can do, so that they can make sure that their parents get the care that they need. I understand that. But at the same time, honor your parents. Do whatever it takes to take care of them. Love them. Jesus gives us this perfect example of loving his mother. Before he dies, he made sure that his mom is taken care of. And that's beautiful. Number four, that it may be well with you and live in the land. What does it mean when Paul says, honor your mother and father so that it may be well with you and that you may live in your land? Well, I think, based on the context of Leviticus and Deuteronomy, it really answers this question. Because of time, I'm just going to read the passage. Please pay attention. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 9. This is what happens to disobedient children. For anyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood is upon him. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 to 21. Check this out. This is how hardcore they are about honoring and obedience to your parents. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city at the gate of the place where he lives. Now check this out. And they shall say to the elder of his city, this, our son, is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So they shall purge the evil from the midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Now listen, I think the reason why Paul says this, obey, honor your father and your mother, for it is well, and so that you may live long on earth, is because it's under the cultural understanding at that time is, if you disobey, terrible things will happen to you. Maybe to the extreme of even being killed. So, yes, if you honor your parents, you will live longer. That just makes sense. You just live longer. You know, and this is a general understanding. I think this is true for everybody. Children who have obeyed and honored their parents are more likely to lead a disciplined life. And the natural odds are for balance and a long life. And I think it's true. When your parents tell you to be responsible with your money, when your parents tell you to do your chores, to clean up your room, and you know, to do the dishes, take out the trash, these things will carry over in life. If you're bad with money, it's gonna carry over in your life, I promise you. And then you're gonna end up, I don't know, slanging drugs or whatever, just to make that extra cash. I'm telling you, the disciplines that happens between your relationship with your parents will carry over in your life. And I do strongly believe this, that if you are obedient to your parents, you are more likely to live a disciplined life. Does it mean that it's a guarantee? No, but it's more likely to happen if you are obedient. Now, all this time on children, now let's go to our parents. Verse 4. It's funny, there's only one verse that deals with the parents. Fathers. Interesting, he doesn't say mothers there. He says fathers. And the reason why fathers is specifically mentioned is because in the hierarchy of the family, the father is the head. The father leads the family. The father teaches the children. The father disciplines the children. The father is the head of the family. So Paul addresses the fathers. Do not provoke your children to anger. Now, this is a good one. Do not provoke your children to anger. This anger grows. Well, let's talk about do not provoke. What does it mean to do not provoke? Basically, it's saying make it a practice to not do this. You know, it's not saying, you know, just stop and that's it, but make it a constant practice to not provoke your children to anger. You know, one of the questions I asked was, how do parents provoke their children to anger? There's a lot of reasons. And if you ask your kids, they'll list down like a whole Bible like of listings of like what not to do to provoke me. But one of the things I think really provokes kids is this, and this is true for me too, is the frustration that builds up because of the expectations that parents place on kids, and they're never able to meet those expectations. You know, I'll use myself as an example. In December, I came home. I was like, Dad, I graduated. I got my master's degree. Yeah. And you know what Dad said? How much money are you making? I'm like, dang it. It's never good enough. You know, and I bought my dad a big screen TV, right? I was like, this was like back in the days when big screen TVs, like huge big screen TVs were the big deal. So I got him like an HD ready big screen TV. I go, here you go, Dad. And I go, I was like, I bought it for you. He goes, why is it so big? Yeah, why is it so fat? Why? It's like, oh, it's big. Isn't it good enough for you? Same thing with my parents, my mom. She has all these expectations that she places for all of our kids. Why can't you be like so-and-so? Why can't you be like this? Why can't you be like that? It's frustrating because the expectations you put on your kids are unrealistic, and you're not really understanding that it's hard for them to meet those expectations. And so therefore, it provokes them to be angry. So do not provoke your children to anger. There is a whole list of things not to do, but we will continue because of time. But bring them up. Paul says, don't do this, but instead bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now this is important, parents, and I want to share this with you, is that God is the teacher. Okay? God is the teacher. God, you need to trust God. You need to turn to God for wisdom, for instruction in how to teach your kids. You cannot do this yourself. You need God. He is the teacher. So when Paul says, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, it means to bring them up in the Bible, to teach them God's word. And it's something you first need to have in your life before you can teach your kids. The irony sometimes is so amazing. My dad, he's a crazy smoker. Loves to smoke. It's like insane. Packs and packs. And one day he comes up to me. He goes, don't ever smoke. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, look at you. You're like a chain smoker. He goes, oh, but it's too late for me. But don't smoke. I'm like, see, parents, if you expect to teach your kids the Bible, you first need to dwell in the Bible. You first need to love God. Which leads to my applications. I have a couple. The first one is this. Everything starts with God working in us. And that's really important. I want to emphasize this. If you, kids, teenagers, college students, parents, if you want to be obedient to your parents, you first need to be obedient to God. You cannot be obedient to your parents if you're not obedient to God. Parents, if you expect to teach your kids and to raise your kids upright, you first need to love God. You first need to have the Holy Spirit build you up, strengthen you, and encourage you. Everything starts with God. The second application is this. Therefore, if it starts with God, therefore, children, obey your parents in the Lord. So when your parents say, take out the trash, you do it. When your parents say, go do your homework, you do it. Don't Facebook. Just go do your homework. You know, when your parents say, don't hang out with those group of people because they're troublemakers, you don't hang out with them. And that's hard to do. But I'm telling you, your parents know what's best for you. God gave them the responsibility to raise you up. You need to trust them as you trust God. Children, obey your parents. In the Lord. Remember, in the Lord. Now you might think, it's hard to love your parents, right? A lot of these kids tell me, oh, it's so hard to love my parents. You know, they don't know what they're talking about. You know, oh, they're so out of it. They don't know what they're talking about. It's so hard to love my parents. You know, they don't know what they're talking about. You know, oh, they're so out of it. They don't know what they're talking about. It's so hard to love my parents. But you know what? Have you ever thought about this? Maybe it's hard to love you. Maybe for your parents it's hard to love you. You know, being a parent is not easy. My mom tells me that all the time. Being a parent is not easy. But you know what the easy thing to do is? To quit. So praise God that your parents don't quit on you. Your parents don't abandon you. Your father doesn't get up and leave. You know, the easy thing to do is just sometimes to just leave. But praise God for the fathers that are, that stick around. You know, I have friends who don't have fathers because, you know, they can't handle it. They can't love their children, so they leave. And that's a really sad thing. But praise God for the men here, the fathers here, who are sticking it through. Children, think about that. It's easy to just leave. It's easy to quit. But your parents don't quit being your parents. So think about that when you're having a hard time loving your parents. Now, I understand that some of us perhaps don't have fathers. Listen, I empathize with you. You know, that is why we as a church, we pray that God would give you more wisdom and more grace and more understanding to love your mom, to love your single parent. Because it's not easy. And it's not easy for your mom as well. To have to be a father and to have to be a mother, it's not easy. So I pray and I hope that you are considerate of what your parents or your parent is going through. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. My last point. Well, actually, let me go back to that really quick. I forgot to mention this. You know, some of us who don't have dads, you might get upset and you might want to curse the world. But you know, there's one truth that you need to know. And that is, there is a Father in heaven that He loves you. He knows you. He knows the amount of, you know, He knows how many hairs you have on your head. He knows your inner thoughts. And He promises to never leave you or forsake you. And perhaps for some of us, that's hard to believe. But with God, that is true. So I pray that you look, that you also be encouraged by this, that God is the Father that perhaps you don't have. And praise God for that. And my last application is this to the fathers or the single parents. Do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Do not irritate and have unreasonable demands on your children. Allow for their inexperience and immaturity. Kids are going to be immature. Allow for it. Don't be harsh with them. Don't exercise favoritism. Now, I know that's easy. I do this all the time, even in ministry. It's easy to have favorites. But parents, please do not demonstrate favoritism. Do not say, why can't you be like so-and-so? Because they can't. God made them that way. You know, do not suppress them in the things which are unmoral. You know, having them drink at an underage, when they're underage, having them drink, taking them out to nudie bars. I know some parents that do that with their kids. It's crazy. You know, allowing them to watch graphic materials on TV, those things. Do not ridicule them. Don't discipline them. I mean, have discipline, but do not make it worse than what it is. Meaning, be reasonable when you discipline your kids. Don't be crazy, like you're grounded for until you're 21. I mean, that's just crazy. It doesn't work that way. And you know what? And this is true too. I'm all for spanking kids, but there is a fine line between spanking with discipline and abuse. And I'm not saying go out there and abuse your kids. That's not what I'm saying at all. Discipline your children in love. Don't surrender Parents, please, as difficult as it may be sometimes, don't surrender your responsibility to your children. Instead, give encouragement because they're human beings as well. At the same time, now this is for all the ministry workers and leaders, you can relate with me on this. At the same time, parents, you are the guardian over their life. You have a responsibility to raise them. Don't hand them over to the church. We are here to aid you. We're here to help you raise your kids up spiritually, but we are not their parents. We cannot do what you can do in the home. And that is a big problem in churches, is that parents will just throw their kids at church and, please, raise them up for me. And I'll tell you right now, I'll do my best there and abuse your kids. That's not what I'm saying at all. Discipline your children in love. Don't surrender, parents, please, as difficult as it may be sometimes, don't surrender your responsibility to your children. Instead, give encouragement because they're human beings as well. At the same time, now this is for all the ministry workers and leaders, you can relate with me on this. At the same time, parents, you are the guardian over their life. You have a responsibility to raise them. Don't hand them over to the church. We are here to aid you. We're here to help you raise your kids up spiritually. But we are not their parents. We cannot do what you can do in the home. And that is a big problem in churches, is that parents will just throw their kids at church and, please, raise them up for me. And I'll tell you right now, I'll do my best, but I can't raise them up. You guys got to do it. So, parents, everybody, please remember, it all starts with the work of God in you. And when that is foundational, you can then obey your parents. And parents, you can then raise up your kids in the Lord. So why don't we close in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. And though some of this might be common sense for us, though some of this might be redundant and we all know this, Lord, I pray that we can actually apply it in our life, that we can honestly say, God, I need you to help me to love my parents. God, I need you to help me love my kids. Lord, we pray that you fill everybody with your Holy Spirit so that, Lord, we can exercise the foundations of a family, the structure of a family. Lord, in today's society where so many divorces happening and so many broken families are coming about, Lord, we pray that you would preserve your people so that we can be an example to the world. We can be counter the statistics, and that we can say in Christ there is unity, there is the family dynamic. Lord, as we strive to apply this in our life, I pray that you would convict the people here that are disobedient against their parents. At the same time, I pray that you would convict the parents that have been neglecting their responsibility to their children. Lord, through this, may you make us new. Through the blood and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, may we strive to be more like Christ in our family. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.